Time for a correction.
A correction?
Yeah, small correction.
Okay.
I mentioned that the Vitex has a small yellow bloom. I was thinking of the Acacia annura when I was picturing that in my mind. No, the Vitex has a dramatic, glorious purple cone-shaped blossom about 4 to 6 inches in length. They're awesome. They're really, really cool. They, but no, it's got a beautiful purple bloom. And if you go to the AMWA website, you should be able to see that, see some pictures online that kind of showcase that incredible blossom.
So that, and that's not a color you see much in the desert, naturally. A little bit on the ironwoods kind of can have a purple tint when they bloom, but
yeah,
that's not something that our native landscape has a lot of.
Yeah, and something to consider, too, is that the Vitex is a deciduous tree. It will lose leaves in the winter. But unlike some trees like the desert willow that look pretty ghostly and I would go so far as to say ugly, the Vitex is kind of cool because it loses its leaves, but those cone-shaped blooms become a cone-shaped ornament, and they're upright like a small little Christmas tree, and they are all over the tree. So all during the winter, you have this empty canopy, but you have these little cone-shaped blossom or cone-shaped ornaments all over the tree for the entire winter. So at least you've got something kind of sculptural for the yard during the off season, and then of course if you want to grab one of those little cones and you can just pull all the they're made of all the little seeds that you brew that you use to brew the tea, you can just grab a handful of those seeds and pull them off so it's one of those multi purpose trees that that you don't find too often around the landscape.
That could be a new Christmas tradition with those seeds and the tea.
There you go. Maybe so.
An interesting one.
So, I won't say anything about the season to be jolly and all that. Let's let's talk about staking trees before we run out of time.
I'm glad you found that funny. Yeah, we are just a word about staking trees. You know, in an emergency, you do whatever you need to do to keep your tree upright or to pull it back up and to get ready for a storm. But if you're going to take some time to do this well, you usually want to stake a tree, a smaller tree, between a couple of stakes. If you're using a 2 or 3 inch diameter lodgepole stake, you usually have to rent a pole pounder. Or you'll have to get up on a ladder and use a hammer or a sledgehammer to pound them into place. And when the ground is wet in this kind of monsoon cycle, the ground's pretty soft, so that may not be that hard to do. And anyway, get the stakes in, drive them in deep enough so that they're going to hold steady, and then you'll want to suspend the tree between some sort of a soft tie material. We use a 1-inch nylon webbing, which you can buy at a local store like REI. And that is a little softer on the trunk of the tree. And then you just tie the straps, and you suspend the tree between the two poles. But you don't want to tie it so tightly that a tree is restricted from movement at all. Sometimes people will strap a tree down so darn tight. By the way, you don't want those to put the stake in right next to the trunk of the tree. Unless, of course, it's very at risk of falling over and you're desperate to kind of hold it in place, but for a short period of time until you get through the monsoon. But you want to try to allow some movement on the staking system, because the idea is for you to be able to eventually wean the tree off the staking system. So the staking system serves as a fail-safe, as just preventing the tree from catastrophic failure and falling over. But you want to tight enough to hold it upright and keep it secure, but not so tight that it can't move, because you want it to, by this time next year, when you're taking the staking system off, if it's been allowed to move a little bit on the staking system, it'll send a message to the roots to get active in the soil and begin to anchor the tree into the native soil. And by this time next year, if it's been moving adequately, you'll be able to pull those stakes off and the tree will be on its own. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Now, you had one more thing on here on eucalyptus.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to mention that.
Season?
Yeah, Sarah Maitland, our plant healthcare director, reminded me that Roy Maxey, our certified arborist, did some soil and tissue sampling of some eucalyptus trees and found that they do have some nutrient problems that are very treatable. If you have eucalyptus trees that are suffering from what appear to be some nutrient deficiencies with color issues, give us a call. We've got some great treatments to get those looking green and beautiful again.
iTreeService.com. John Eisenhower, thank you for your time this Saturday morning on the Unstumpable Hour.
See ya.